The stream has started.
I'm gonna call roll. Grace Aaron, Ken Aaron, Doug Barnett, Fred Blair.
Present.
Sue Cohen Johnson. Sue? Is she muted?
No.
Well, I see her here. We have to wait for her. Raymond Goldstone?
Present.
Michael Heiss?
Yeah.
Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson is here.
Door open till 5. We just don't have the front door unlocked.
Can we mute Marlena, yeah, please?
Okay.
Sure. Steve Kaiser? Kim Kaufman, Treasurer, Secretary, I am here. John Markowitz, Dan McCrory, King Riley, Bruce Strauss.
Here.
Beth Von Gunten.
Here. Present.
John Wenger.
Here.
And we have Michael Novick, the IGM.
Hi.
So we have quorum, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Sue Cohen Johnson, you know, please speak up when you can. So you all got the agenda. I'll read it quickly. Where is it? All right, so call to order, request for timekeeper. Michael Heiss, would you like to time if you need it? And review FY.
Kim, could you announce the meeting?
Sorry. This is the KPFK Finance Committee meeting, June 28th, 2023. It was 4:12 when I started calling roll. And that's it. So Michael Heiss, if we need a timekeeper, will you volunteer? And next is review the FY23 6-month budget for the second half of the year. Michael Novick will only be with us for another, I don't know, half hour,
yeah,
40 minutes. And then the committee to discuss and make motion recommendations to LSB, election for chair pro tem for 3 meetings, approve agenda, set meeting times for rest of year, adjourn 5:30. Otis needs to use this Zoom for the 5:30 governance meeting. So, Michael, can you put up the thing, if anybody wants to see it, and I don't know if you want to go through it or you want me to go through it, or you know, theoretically it's your budget, but it's up to you. Do you want to speak to it first?
I'll speak to it briefly. You can go into more of the details. I think if people look back and people who aren't, I think I'm sharing it and people see it who are on computers. So if you look back at last year, which was 2022 fiscal year, the column is labeled total prior year through March. Total revenue was just shy of $800,000. Total expenses was a little bit over $900,000. So that's before central services. Those who are running a deficit just on our local operating expenses. Year-to-date actual through March, you'll see $637,000 in revenue, a little over, and $615,000 in expenses, $616,000, let's say. So actually, just on local expenses, slightly in the black, but of course that doesn't reflect the fact that we owe a tremendous amount of money in unpaid bills, aged payables, and that we are not able to meet the central services. And then if we scroll over for the projection for the 6 months that are being projected, although I think you said that April is actually actual at this point because we did get.
Yes.
Yeah. So the actuals again for April show 113,000 in revenue and 93,000 in expenses. So a little bit on the plus side, again, just for the local costs of current expenses. The projection.
Well, if I may interrupt there, Michael,
sure, go ahead.
If you look at May, this is what I am projecting our actual expenses, 102 or 103. So there's like 10,000 right. difference between what actually got to the business manager and what I believe should have gotten to the business manager. So.
Okay, we're working on it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that's fine.
We don't haven't had a local business manager. We're trying to figure out a way.
No,
to
I understand.
Deal with that. Yeah. Just explain to people who are not not as familiar with the documents as you are. I really appreciate the work you put into this. It's very helpful. Again, if I can just finish up. So what you're looking at are estimates. It's not like it's going to be $1,500 a month in major donor income necessarily. Those are all estimated, prorated figures based on, looking at the past practice and coming up with something that looks like it makes sense. So these are guesstimates, essentially the best guesstimates we could. Some of the bills are clearer. I will say that I think that the personnel costs are not going to be as high as they're projected because they've been continued to fall. And with the passing of Roy of Hollywood, we were not able to fill that. Every time we have any attrition, we're not filling the position with paid staff. So that's going unfilled, and Margaret Prescott will be changing her status to unpaid, and so the personnel costs are going to continue to decline through the rest of this fiscal year and into the next one. There are some other severances that will come off next year. So I think the picture is slightly better in the last 6 months than it looks like on this form. But this is showing a deficit of about 17,000, and I think it will actually be, as the first half of the year, closer to break even more or less on the local expenses. But we have a lot of things that we need to accommodate for, which are not on here projected, I don't think, but. A lot of deferred maintenance over a decade or more, really, that is catching up with us. And so we have things we have to replace up at the transmitter. We have work that has to be done on the transmitter. It's going to be quite expensive to have, tower climbers take things down and put things back. Eventually, I think we have to have a capital campaign separate from our regular fundraising efforts I've talked about with the ED. If Kim wants to go into more detail, that's fine. She put a lot of work into this.
I basically tried to even out the first half of the year with the second half of the year, with some judgment calls, so that was a guide. Listener support, I can say that, the first three drives of the year was like $3,900, $4,400, $4,600. And then April was $4,500. This one's doing $3,500. And, so I've had to kind of budget August lower. When do you expect this June drive to be finished? Do you have a date?
We're ending the drive on June 30th. We have other activities planned in July, but we're not going to extend the drive into July. So we're going to wrap up. Yeah. And I can mention a few of the things we are planning for July. There is the Spanish language program is at a pretty successful event with the Zumba. It's a free event, but they were able to get quite a bit of donations and merchandise sold and so on. raised about $1,000. They're doing another one of those July 8th, July 14th, which is Bastille Day. We're going to be having an event with Natsadio and Tongo Ison Martin, who's the Poet Laureate of San Francisco. That will be at a venue that's being made available at no cost to us from the Labor Community Strategy Center, and we anticipate it will be a pretty good revenue source as a community event. And we're still trying to work on luncheons, basically having people host gatherings where people bring their checkbook, which is more typically what a lot of nonprofits do, and also more calling out to lapsed donors. Terry Guy did an email just the other day to about 7,000 people whose membership expired just before the date of record for this election cycle. And we're hoping to see some returns from that as well.
I'd like to interrupt this because I see Steve Kaiser. Steve, are you here? Oh, and then I see some hands raised. So Steve can ask to unmute.
You can hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Just one thing,
Wait, are we taking a stack? I thought I saw some other people. 706, are you a member of this committee? Ending in 5504? Okay.
We're off of that spreadsheet now. Can we go back to it?
Yeah, I'll go back to the second. I just want to show people the results through.
Well, is this the fund drives, Michael?
This is the fund drive. Yeah, just for a moment, if people bear with me. So this
is what we've done this year.
This is the current fund drive. We're up to 82,776 through this moment, more or less. It's I can show you by day in a second.
That's what we raised for this fiscal year so far. It's about 70.
So that's what we raised in this current fund drive, the June fund drive that we're currently in.
79,000 or 82,000?
82,000. Again, it was quite weak. It picked up again in the last 2 days. So if you see here, like through the first part of it, we rarely cracked 3,000, 5,000. And then towards as you come into this final week or so, it's 5,000, 7,000. That's a weekend, I think, 3,800 Monday, Tuesday. Here's Wednesday. So this is today, and we're up at 5,500. And it's, that's not through the day by any means.
Well, what's picking up there? Is there some premium that's being offered that is increasing the contribution?
We did a $1,000 match on one of the letters in politics earlier today. A couple of days ago, actually, somebody did the $2,000. I think the $7,001 is where somebody did the $2,000 premium for a dinner and a show with Amy Goodman. I did ask all the programs to intensify their appeals. I think that had an impact as well.
And are we able to do anything else with an appeal factor like dinner and a tour of the station with Amy? Is there any more of that we can do? Any personality?
The people doing healthcare for us try to offer that. And I don't think it caught anything, but we could try something like that with some of the other ones if there are programs that have,
You say healthcare for us?
The Healthcare for Us program offered a thing where I think they were asking for $500 to, meet them, see the show and have a meal. But I don't think anybody went for it. But, we can try it.
We don't have enough star power. Maybe some of the stars here in Los Angeles, we could enlist for something like this, and it might be an avenue to buck up our fundraising efforts. I know we don't have many personalities like that, like in the pantry here, but it's something to think about.
It was just to say the main point I wanted to make is that there has been an improvement in this drive, and that's not atypical. That the early weeks of the drive are not as good, and then they actually do build up.
Michael, in November of last year, we had a major donor contribution of 60,000. Was that a single situation?
Yeah, I think that must have been a bequest.
A bequest? All right.
There is a bequest pending, by the way, a very substantial one that there's sort of a contest going on in probate court, and I think that the ED asked Arthur Schwartz to arrange for a probate attorney to represent us there. So if that does come through, that would be actually, I think it's in the neighborhood of $400,000.
That would be a help.
Yeah, that would be a big help.
I have two other people on the stack who have hands raised.
I'm done, thanks.
Ruth Strauss?
Ruth? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Michael, I don't know how you can make a statement. We're kind of breaking even, but I always hear about owing the electric company $60,000 and, you know, a lot of bills, not counting central services, but just general bills for the tower and all of that. I'm just confused.
Okay. What I did say is that on the current expenses, if you look at the figures, you'll see we're basically about breaking even, but we owe a lot of money. In other words, I inherited a situation where I came in, we were already owing $45,000 to DWP. We were already owing more than that to Southern California Edison. Southern California Edison has us on a payment plan where we must pay the current bill and pay down the past due. And the ED and the business manager have been negotiating similar things with a lot of the aged payables, as they're called, the unpaid bills from prior. So we are trying to stay current on the bills that are coming in, and we're basically doing so, is what I'm saying, but we continue to owe a lot of money, and we are not making our central service payments. So again, the solutions to that are other streams of revenue. I am trying to work on the PMB did authorize underwriting, mission consistent underwriting, mission compliant underwriting. KPFD is starting to do it. I circulated to the staff the KPFD package for comments and figuring out what rates we might do. We do have, you'll see that on the chart is back up, the sponsorship and underwriting is in yellow highlighted there. Can you see that? And that's basically coming from media sponsorships, mainly from stuff that Maggie LaPique has been able to arrange with performance venues like the Hollywood Bowl or UCLA Performing Arts and so on. They do pay us for the promotion that appears on the air. You hear statements like support comes from, and you know that's because they're actually putting some money in the coffers for us, and also goes into the dispatch and on the website and so on. So we'll be doing more of that with nonprofit community organizations and small businesses going forward to bring in that stream of revenue. As I said, I'm trying to do more of what most other nonprofits do, which is donor stewardship, talking to people who have been donors to bring them back, talking to people who are donors to, you know, sort of upsell them from being just a donor to being a sustainer or increasing their sustainers. So trying to work on plan giving. I've been talking to people at Free Will, which is a free will writing program that if you pay them, they can also promote you, but you can offer it as a sort of a benefit of membership. And we're hoping that if people do take that benefit, then they would start to include us in their, you know, bequests. So there are a lot of things that I think will work to increase the revenue if we can, you know, get into that mentality that most of the nonprofits have of how they get the revenue. We've been privileged to have this idea. We have a radio station, and therefore we can just, you know, broadcast these appeals and the money will come in. And we're seeing increasingly that that's not the case. We've tapped out a lot of the audience that we do have.
Okay, Michael, I have, so, there's a growing stack. I see Fred next.
Kim, do I have the floor?
Yes.
Okay, I hate to break your bubble here about your mem about breaking even. We're far from breaking even. The National Finance Committee new actually new or returning formula for central services is basically 15% of total income. It used to be just fund drive income, but Chris Corey wanted to change it to total income. So that would be for us currently at our income of $595,000 so far this year, that would be about $90,000 for central services. And can I finish? And as I can see that you have cut a lot of expenses. You've gotten expenses down by probably $100,000 a month from what they were a couple years ago. But there are a lot of hidden expenses that are showing up, long-term expenses that haven't been paid. And so our income is basically half of what it needs to be to keep this operation going. And I just wanted to let people know that. And so I'll let you respond now.
I don't disagree with anything you said. I thought I said the same thing. I said that we have a lot of aged payables we're not able to pay. We owe money for central services we're not able to make. And we have upcoming expenses for deferred maintenance that we are not currently budgeted for. So, the business plan around that, as I said, is we need to have a capital campaign, probably at the national level. We have to have additional streams of revenue besides what we can raise currently through the on-air fund drives. That's essential. All those things are true.
Okay, I see. Raymond Goldstone next.
I just wondered about the estimates that are in the premium from other, and I assume that word is vendors, right?
Yes.
And did you take the 3,000 from some extrapolation of earlier amounts?
Well, I looked at the previous 6 months and last year and sort of, if extrapolate is the right word, that's what I based it on. I mean, they're late getting reported. We accrue them in somebody's draw until we can pay them, and then they show up. So I've taken the last couple of years into consideration. And for example, the premiums from PRA on 89, it shows year to date in column Z, year to date of 620. Well, I emailed Mariana, and year to date as of May 30th, it's 2,149. So for the second half of, for these 6 months, I'm kind of, figuring that mm-hmm. in.
Yeah.
And just one final comment, and perhaps you can explain it to me at another time. I am at a loss to understand why there is no ongoing website income.
Well, we combined them because we could not figure out the difference between website income and listener support. So we just, the way we have been doing it with the previous business manager did not prove to be documentable. So
because what about all of the advertising for these venues? I mean, that takes up a third or more of the space of the website.
Yeah, as I said, that's what's showing at the very top in underwriting. The money for that is part of what comes in from the event venues, the cultural events that are media sponsor, and they actually, as I said, when you the package they get is that we promote it on air, we promote it on the website, and we include it in the dispatch.
Thank you, Mike.
So that's on line 13 for anybody.
Let me scroll back up.
Is that it, Raymond?
That's not all I have, yes.
Okay. Michael Heiss, I see you next. Michael Heiss, are you muted?
Okay, now I'm unmuted. Okay. People have been trying to mute me for years. Okay. Three quick ones, Michael, that relate to this. If we prevail in getting this significant budget, is there anything in any of the agreements, for some of the past due things where that they would automatically, if you will, skim off the top, you've got this money, now you have to give it to them. That's number one. Number two is, you know, on and off, I know you've been pursuing this. Is there any progress or possibility of getting the PSA kind of sponsorship things from the city or the county along the lines of what BAI is doing with the city? And finally, anywhere in the budget, you know, I know from my participation in that group that there are some technical things that can wait and there are some technical things that can't wait,
right.
But anywhere in the projected budget are the must gotta kind of fix or will be in big trouble things like, as an example, the power supply and the STL.
I think Kim said she incorporated about $20,000 from the spreadsheet that you
developed
out of those meetings.
Okay. What about the anything possible with the city or the county, the way BAI?
No, the city doesn't do that at all, except they told us that you could approach individual city council members who have discretionary funds, and we're a little cautious about that given the level of corruption in the LA City Council.
Sure.
The ED has submitted the paperwork to the LA County as a nonprofit to get in. They do some grant writing and they do some other things that we might be able to access, but you know, there's nothing definite about that yet, but we are working on it.
Okay, and then one last thing then quickly is if we prevail in getting that significant bequest, are any of the agreements that you have with any of the significant past due aged accounts like SCE and DWP and, you know, I don't know if we're still paying for the bloody Pitney Bowes machine, where those people would be able to swoop in and take money off the top, or would it be at our discretion as to how to dispense that money?
I don't think they would swoop in, but, you know, as I say, that money will not evaporate, but it will go to do some of that. We need to, you know, pay off some of those bills so we can keep those services going. So, yeah, if that money comes in that lump sum, I'm sure it will get parceled out pretty quickly to, you know, try to eliminate. I mean, that's the other thing that Kim mentioned at the beginning, maybe it was before the call started, but the whole question about the building that is still, you know, the for sale sign is still posted and it's still, you know, in discussion. But if a substantial sum of money comes in for the building, that would involve also paying off a good bit of the debt, both our accumulated, you know, aged payables and also the foundation's, you know, major debt. Because the interest costs and that are rising as interest rates have gone up. And if we can get out of it, it would be, you know, very advantageous.
Kim, may I ask a question?
Ruth has a hand up. I don't know.
Yeah, Ruth, is that a new hand or old hand? Ruth?
Got this thing where you have this thing where you can't unmute yourself, but whatever.
I'm not sure how to fix that.
I click the ask to unmute. That's what works. You have to do that. Just click ask to unmute, yep. And that allows them to unmute.
Yeah, there is no ask to unmute.
The host and co-host click ask to unmute, and that allows you to unmute yourself.
I know, but it shouldn't even be there. Anyway, So what you're saying, Michael, is that that actually right now, from what we're making, we have the money to pay our electric bills and our whatever else bills, that everything that is a problem is left over from the past.
No.
Okay. Well, you said that's what I understood before.
Well, what can I say? We're accumulating some unpaid bills as well. But in terms of what we are paying and what we are bringing in, the most urgent one is the Southern California Edison. For that one, we're both paying the current bill, and we're paying, paying down the
Michael, can I take a shot at this?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
So the past, this is a budget, you know, and some of these numbers in the first 6 months and now are being accrued. They're not being paid. What this budget is what we need if we're going to pay everything. And it may look like we're making enough money, but out of our current revenue, we're paying past bills. Yeah. Those past bills do not show up on this spreadsheet because they're already been accrued from past years. And I'm working on getting a better record of that, so we'll have a better idea of what is actually being spent, but I don't have that yet. So that's why there's somewhat of a discrepancy in like, well, it looks like we're breaking even, but no, we're a lot of previous money is going, a lot of our money is going to previous stuff, which doesn't show up here.
Right.
Is that clear to anyone?
Yeah, for example, the money we pay to Southern California Edison for the past due is not showing up on this because it was an accrued obligation in previous year. So, we're juggling a lot.
I'd like to put myself on the stack.
I'm in attendance. I'm here.
Okay, Sue, I didn't see your hand up, but would you like to speak? Do you have a question? Well, if you do, let us know.
She's on the phone. I don't know if she's...
Oh, she's...
I think she's talking to somebody
talking
else.
To the phone, but we're not hearing her. You need
I
to
think
unmute.
She's talking to somebody else.
Well, if she wants to talk here, she needs to unmute. I just asked her to unmute.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to point out that our listenership has fallen as much. I mean, our listener support has fallen as much as our expenses. So,
Sue is here.
Okay, Sue, you have a question?
No, I'm muted by the phone and I'm muted on the computer. And I can't, and the chat is disabled.
Yeah, we hear you though. You're unmuted on the computer now. We can hear you.
Okay.
That's all.
All right. Well, you know, this is my first time as a co-host of the Zoom, so I'm doing the best I can. Trying to make sure everybody gets to speak. Raymond, did you have another? Questions, more questions?
Just one.
Michael Heiss again.
Just one.
Dave would like to get back too, please.
What?
Am I recognized?
We can hear you.
Thank you. But on the assumption that we meaning Pacifica, are the beneficiaries of some part of that 400,000, it's my recollection that bequests have cheated, if you will, to the national. And if that's the case, I think we should be in discussions about not having that happen. Thank you.
I think that's not totally, I mean, it was like a percentage of bequests that were supposed to go to paying off the FJC loan, but I think we're in a new whole ball game right now. So at the very least, that money would go to perhaps compensate our central services, but that we're a long way from having to spend money, you know, like that's, you know. Okay, Michael Heiss. Can you hear?
Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Kim. Michael, a quick question, which is a little off topic, but since I'm a candidate, I can't call into the report to the listener. But it does impact fundraising and financials. I believe that some of the remaining paid staff are SAG-AFTRA. If they were 2 days away from a potential strike, would that impact the KPFK employees who are SAG-AFTRA members?
No.
No, it's different.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, and actually, you have to get going over to the studio if that's okay. And if people have additional questions, please just, you know, email me at gm@kpfk.org.
All right. Well, thank you. Can you unscreen share yourself?
Yeah, I'll stop the share. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Thank you very much for helping out with this and you know, answering the question.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
Share a little work you did on the budget. Thanks. I'm going to leave.
All right. Any other discussion?
This is Dave.
Hey, Dave.
I had a couple of questions. I guess we can ask them in Michael's absence.
Sure.
Do I have the floor?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, it was about the 400,000 bequest. I was just curious what the timing on that might be. I mean, is that going to happen at the end of the year? And if the bequest was made. Yeah, it was just about three questions I had about it. And the other one was, what the share or the split would be with the national office if that bequest was made to KPFK and how much we would see out of that. And I'm asking that question in light of the fact that I guess the audit can't get started because the auditor won't get started until they get a 50% down payment on the $78,000 they want to charge us for the audit.
So I would imagine
a chunk of that $400,000 should go towards getting that audit going so that we're operating legally in the state of California. And well, then I had a few other questions, and one of the questions I had was that after speaking to a member of another committee that I believe is called the Technical Task Force that's helping Michael, that it was indicated to me that what's happening at Mount Wilson equipment-wise is like a ticking time bomb, and that we have a couple significant items up there, including the antenna and the transmitter, and there's another critical piece of equipment that's leaking nitrogen right now that sends basically the signal from the transmitter up to the antenna that could blow and go at any minute. And this is a little bit about what Michael was talking about, how it costs $15,000 to have a crew go climb up and down on the antenna, and then the part would maybe be another $5,000. And then when you add in some of the other costs, not including the transmitter, we could be looking at an immediate need for maybe between $60,000 and $100,000. And I know that Kim and some of the other members on this committee remember well how much the transmitters cost. And if we basically are sitting in a position where we need to replace the transmitters, I was wondering if those past members could remind us as to how much the transmitters cost last time and if there was any updated information as to what new transmitters might cost. So that's just kind of wrapped up into a big question there. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to let Michael Heiss talk about this, but I will say, first of all, the sale of the building is going to come long before that bequest. That's what I think. Number two, we have two Nortel transmitters up on Mount Washington. They cost about $100,000 each, you know, like 10, 11 years ago. That's what I know. I'll let Michael Heiss speak. And then I see Steve Kaiser's hand raised next. So you can speak to this, Michael. Heiss. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I don't know how to turn this off. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Where's your name? Where's your name? Where's your name? Oh, there it is.
You live by technology. You live by technology. You die by technology. Dave, let me answer as quickly as I can. And I see Dan McCrory. He might know something about this as well. The issue is not with the transmitter per se. It's with the power supplies that power the transmitter. And there are a number of them, the number of which escapes me. And we need to repair them. You can't replace them. That is, as long as they don't all collapse, a manageable cost. I would estimate they're, what is there, four that need to be repaired, they're $500 each, plus the shipping. So that's a couple of grand. There are some other issues with the nitrogen leaks in the waveguide and the STL link antennas and one of the ray domes and whatnot. But, and again, I'm certainly willing to be corrected, but I think if we were able to fix what needed to be fixed today, it appears that it's in the neighborhood of 20-ish, depending upon some things that are still to be determined. I think that's the best. I see you're nodding your head, Dan. Is that kind of in the right ballpark? Nope, you got to unmute him, Kim. Sorry.
Could you repeat those two figures, please?
I would believe I'd have to go to my spreadsheet, which I don't have open at the minute. But depending upon the exact nature of what would immediately have to be replaced, and the first thing on the list are the power supplies for the transmitter. But again, it's important to note, not the transmitter itself. That's in $5,000-$6,000 tops to replace the four we have and ship them back and all of that business. The other things, the waveguide and the ray dome, are to somewhat dependent on how many tower climbs are needed, whether you can even get a damn tower crew, and how much that costs. Because regrettably, even though we've sent some drones up to look at the damage for the ray dome and some of the other tower mounted antenna, you've got to climb up, inspect it, take it down, fix it, climb back up, and then come down. And that is not like urgent immediate, but it's kind of, I think, and again, Dan, you're unmuted there, I think it's fair to say is as soon as possible. And there are some, without going, I don't want to divert the meeting too far, but without going into the Wheatstone, which I believe can be replaced with something, but that's a separate issue. The 15 to 20K number seems reasonable, but I defer to the wisdom of others.
It's old stuff, and you can only repair it so many times before you have to totally replace it. So if we can still get by cheaply, great. If not, we're going to pay in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. The problem is, Dave, you can't replace the power supplies because they're, nobody makes them anymore. I mean, you literally cannot get them for love or money, and we don't have money. So you just have to hope that by repairing them, we can squeeze through till better times and hope that the remaining ones don't blow up. But, I mean, it's the kind of device that these power supplies are. They will inevitably fail just because they do.
My understanding is, I'm just going to pop in here. My understanding is that the $20,000 is the stuff that really needs to be done before it rains. Right?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. And then the rest of it is before it snows, because that's where you need, one of the things on the tower is an ice shield, which can wait until, November, December, but then you run the risk of ice falling off the tower, and it could take out some of the power mounted equipment, and we need to build a shield over the waveguide, because if ice falls on that, you're off the air.
Well, yes, sir.
Can I ask a follow up, Kim?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
So this nitrogen leak, this is ongoing, and if we had a catastrophic problem, is that the item where you'd be having to spend $20,000 right away?
No.
Knock us off the air, and is that an emergency type thing waiting to happen?
With the caveat that I'm not an RF guy, that's a real specialty unto itself. My understanding, willing to be corrected, is that we can go through with what we have, and it doesn't sound like there is the possibility of an explosive major leaky leak. It's more a function of it's something that you don't want to have. That's not the major item, God willing, and the sun don't shine, or the sun does shine, who knows. That's not going to take us off the air tomorrow. The things that could take us off the air tomorrow are the transmitter power supplies, the STL antennas, and I think it's the ray dome or one of the protective things on the tower, which need to be fixed. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it.
Follow up again, Kim?
Go ahead.
So if the antennas failed and needed to be replaced, I'm not sure I quite understood how much they were going to cost. And on the power supplies, I understand that, they don't make them anymore, that we're paying not that much money to have these individual items. I believe there's something like 8 or 10 of them. And you can take them down and have them rebuilt and put them back up. But ultimately, that won't last forever. And so my technical question is, if someone might know, is, in light of the fact that those power supplies that feed our transmitters cannot be, they don't make new ones anymore, does this mean that at some point, because of this problem, we would have to replace our $100,000 a piece transmitters?
The general thought is that they are repairable within reason, and it's clearly, a Band-Aid, but replacing the transmitter, and Dan's nodding, so I'll take that as an affirmation. Replacing the transmitter is not high on the list. If somebody dropped a couple $100,000 in my lap, I'd buy a new transmitter, but there's other stuff I would do first. We can keep repairing them, and sort of the laugh is it costs more to ship them to and back from the people that repair them than it does to repair them. That's just the nature of the beast. The antenna that I've been talking about is not the main RF transmitting antenna on the tower from which the signal emanates. It's the STL, the studio transmitter link, which goes between the building and Mount Wilson. And although not desirable, there is a fallback for that using cloud or IP. There's no fiber up there. It would cost a gajillion dollars to get fiber up
Michael.
There.
Michael, the STL is a microwave antenna.
Yes.
And we have several communication links up to the transmitter for sending the audio up there.
Yes, absolutely correct. But the feeling on the part of the engineering brain trust is that that's at the top of the list. I'm just repeating, pun intended, what they've been saying. But yes, it is a 900 megahertz microwave type system. It's not the main big boy antenna or big person antenna that the signal emanates from. Sorry, Kim, I didn't mean to derail things.
No, it's fine. Dave asked the questions. A lot of people here are interested in this stuff, but I think we kind of need to move on. We can come back. I saw Steve Kaiser's hand raised.
Just real quick. Yeah. Talking about inheritance like that, picture us like in the Arctic where it's melting and we're like polar bears swimming to the next big ice floe that we can get, keep our nostrils above the oxygen, above the water. And this is my imagery of us going from inheritance to inheritance. it's the only thing that's really keeping us viable, because the fund drives are just not bringing in the money. We're not offering stuff that people want. They've migrated elsewhere. That's an avenue that maybe we can repair somewhat, but what's really keeping us afloat are these inheritances. And what we need is a program to contact these people and put their inheritance in action while they're still alive, and to contact them and make us a part of their will. That's my entire point. Thanks.
I do not disagree with you.
Well, nobody disagrees with me, but can anybody help me with this project? Any volunteers? What?
Not me.
Why not?
Because I'm very busy right now doing stuff, and I don't know what to do, you know. I mean, make a proposal.
Okay, I'll get back to you, Tim. We've talked a lot. I know, and I appreciate, say the least, I appreciate your efforts.
We need to move on to, we're sending this budget to the LSB. Do we want to make a recommendation? We move that we realize that the budget is a deficit, but the numbers are as accurate as we can determine, and this is our best efforts at a budget till the end of the year, and you know, send it to the LSB, let them basically do the same, then send it up to the national, and they're going to have to deal with it. And you know, it's all going to be different once we have an idea about the sale of the building. So this is just a guideline for people who like to look at budgets, like me.
We should title the motion, "It is what it is."
This is Dave.
Go ahead, Dave.
Do I have the floor, Kim?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Michael mentioned about how the employee cost was going to go down in light of a change in status for Margaret Prescott, and of course, after the death of Mr. Tuckman. Should we at least put in a big asterisk with the budget being sent to the LSB that the payroll numbers will decrease? And would it be possible for us to come up with a figure on what the monthly decrease would be with the removal of those two people from being employees? That was my question.
Well, one of them is not going to change until December.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, one of them will. And I could ask, but I'm not really going to ask them to recalculate that. We should have May soon, and we might have a better idea in May.
But the reason why I asked is the personnel costs are one of our highest on the monthlies. And if there was going to be a significant change, that even if we didn't change the figures, if this is going to be sent to the LSB this weekend kind of thing.
No, it's not. The LSB meeting is July 16th. So if I get new numbers, I will update it for the July 16th meeting.
Okay, that was the only issue. Thank you.
But it's worth noting, and it would be something I would at least talk about to the, say if we don't have better numbers by then. So, any other comments?
Well, I was wondering about this meeting here. Is this Picasso's Guernica?
No, it's Weeping Woman.
Oh, it's Sleeping Woman? Oh, okay.
Weeping.
Thank you.
Weeping Woman. That is the Picasso image.
All right. We got plenty of cheers to go around lately.
Okay. So I'm just writing something here. We understand this is a deficit budget. We believe the numbers are as accurate as we have at this time. I can say personnel. likely will go down. The sale of the building is also the ramifications of the sale of the building are as yet unknown, but will be significant, something like that.
Are we getting any interest in the building?
Yeah, there were three offers, and she was waiting for a fourth,
good,
like maybe today. So, yeah, there is, you know, something on the table.
Are they offering the full price?
I have zero idea. This will not be released for until the PMB has, you know, chewed on this.
Okay.
I know nothing more than what I have said, except for that one deal may be possible for KPFK to consolidate into smaller quarters and stay in the building. That is a possibility I have heard floated. Other than that, I know zero.
That sounds wonderful. Really?
Kim, do we have to make a recommendation, or can we simply transmit it with the notes?
You mean what I'm writing?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's my intention. I mean, I don't feel comfortable saying the finance committee moves to approve this budget, because I don't like approving budgets that we know are deficits. And I'm not going to say we disapprove it. You know,
And what predicate do you plan to use other
for
than
what?
Transferring it?
That we've reviewed it, and this is our conclusions. And, you know, basically, we believe it needs to go up to the National Finance Committee for them to review it.
Kim, may I speak?
Yeah.
I apologize. I had to put the call on mute. I had a technical problem that I had to fix for my mother, so I apologize. In your notes to the thing that will be submitted, do you think it makes sense to, without, you know, making it too lengthy, to say that this budget reflects a reasonable estimate of the necessary technical items, but there are others that are unpredictable and they're not included? I leave that to you.
Say that again.
That this budget includes a reasonable estimate.
Okay. A reasonable estimate of all our expenses.
Okay. Whatever.
Estimate of revenue and expenses.
Okay.
And I'm not, you know, that is what it is for all of the items.
Fine.
Look, to be honest, I think even my estimations of the listener support is high, but, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, we're doing 3,500 a day as opposed to 4,500 at the beginning of the year. So, you know, this revenue is the problem. You know,
we've exhausted our listeners.
We've driven them away.
Well, that too. That's one manifestation of the loss of revenue.
Yeah.
We need to put back on the air some of the revenue-producing programs. It's really that simple. And the easiest example of that would be Buku Foods, for example, with a new guest host, bringing those people in and pushing that on the air again. Because we have listeners that have purchased that stuff who would like to get it again as a donation, and we should have those Buku people back in the studio with a new guest host doing a Buku program like what used to be done in past years.
That's not the only one.
Okay, so thank
this
you.
Discussion is for the Programming Oversight Committee. Okay, and have at it over there. That's where this belongs. All of you who want to talk about programming, that's the place for it.
It speaks to revenue. Those were revenue raising programs.
No,
they
were exclusive
to Fund Drive. Well, that's why I raised it. They were exclusive to Fund Drive, and they're revenue producing programs.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay, Dave. Can I be recognized?
Okay, go ahead.
So what is the level of the central services that you have listed? I can't see the spreadsheet. So on your so what is the level of central services you have?
I don't know. I cut 15% of something, and I'm not sure these numbers are right, but they're lower than what they were.
like what about level, half. So what is the deficit that is projected on your budget?
For the second half of the year, $160,000.
Thank you.
Ken, this is John. May I speak?
Yep.
Earlier it was said that the central services used to be a function of one thing, and now somebody or other, who I don't know who that is, changed it to a different formula.
Okay. I think
a little elaboration on that would be helpful to me.
Yeah, it used to be back in the day that the central services was based only on listener support that came in during fund drives. And those were the days when we'd have, you know, short fund drives. A couple of years ago, they debated and voted that the listener support should now be based on all revenue.
No, they did that this year.
Pardon me?
They did that this year by Chris Corey.
I thought it was
it was decided like 3 years ago. They just never did anything about it.
And it wasn't was it?
No, it was decided. They just rehashed it because, you know, whatever.
Okay, thank you for that. I have another quick request.
Go ahead. But we got to wrap it up because we have 10 more minutes before we're going to get kicked off the Zoom.
One sentence. Since we don't have chat, I'd like to talk with Steve Kaiser and Dave Johnson on telephone afterwards to talk about some programming, how do you raise more money issues.
John initiated a conference call, and I'm here.
Isn't that the program committee?
It is. We're just going to talk about it because we've been around a long time and have some ideas.
Well, John, that's a great idea. Just send it out to the finance committee, whoever wants to join and talk about programming, if you want to do that or take the names.
Do you mean send out an email or send it out how?
An email.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking about it right now, and it'll be it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'll make a phone call to those guys because that's what I feel like doing.
Fine. No, that's great. That's great.
Fred here. All I can say is that the changes that have been made in programming are not raising more money. They're raising less.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, isn't it? We need to fix that, as Dave Johnson says.
What do you suggest, Fred? Do you have any ideas?
No, Steve, not here, not here. I'd like to move the agenda, you know.
I'll shut up, I promise.
So,
is
it okay if I sort of craft some wording for what we've discussed to send to the LSB? Basically, this budget reflects a reasonable estimate of revenue and expenses for the rest of the year.
Okay. Well, Kim, why don't you write it down and then take a couple of minutes right now, write it down and ask if we approve.
No, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't do that. Because
you're bothered piloting Zoom. Okay, I get it. Okay.
Well, I just got a lot. This budget reflects a reasonable estimate of revenue and expenses for the rest of the year. I could add personnel will likely go down. The sale of the building is as yet unknown and will change everything.
I can live with that.
Any objections?
What are we asking the LSV to do?
Nothing. Review it like they're supposed to.
Yeah. We're the pre-reviewers. We feed it to the LSV, and then they do the official review. They're supposed to review the budget. They don't. They're not interested. So
yeah,
that's why we do it for them.
They're supposed to approve or not approve it. I just said, I personally can't make a motion to approve it. We approve this insofar as this budget reflects a reasonable estimate of revenue and expenses. It is a deficit budget. Personnel will go down, and the building sale. And
I would prefer that you say we present it to them as a reasonable
It is the purpose of the finance committee to do this analysis for them and make a recommendation.
Right. So we recommend that they, send it to the MSC.
Yeah, it's the best we can do given the lack of information that we have. So pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lack of information. We know what the deficit's going to be.
We have the information that Michael Novick gave us. It's the same as Fred Blair gave us. So let's move on.
Okay, so next on the agenda.
Wait a minute, I'm not as a parliamentarian, but if this is a motion, it ought to be moved and voted on.
Well, I asked if there were any objections, and I didn't hear
to
any.
What?
So to the wording that I've said about five times.
Yeah.
Well, if it includes the word approval, yes, I object.
I did. It does not.
Okay,
I took your wording. We present this to the LSB as this budget reflects a reasonable estimate of revenue and expenses for the second half of the year. It is a deficit budget. Personnel will likely go down, and the building sale will present new information. Please, we recommend that the LSB review this and send it to the MFC. Should I take a roll call?
If anybody objects, and if no one objects, then we're done.
Without objections.
Are there any objections? I'm not hearing any, and I don't know who's might be muted. I'll ask everyone to unmute.
Unmute everybody.
I can't do that, Steve. I don't know. I'm only can do what I can do.
Okay.
If I could do that, I would have done that. It keeps muting people after. This is my first time doing this.
Okay.
And some people don't get remuted, so I don't understand. So I've asked everybody to unmute if they want to weigh in, yay or nay. I hear no objections. Please mute whoever is, getting a phone call. Okay. We have about 5 minutes before we're going to get cut off, and Otis needs this Zoom for the next meeting. So next on the agenda was an election for our chair pro tem for the next 3 meetings and go through all of that to elect a permanent chair.
I move that we postpone that to the next meeting.
Why?
We don't have the time. We've got
5 minutes.
You're cutting it close.
I say 9 minutes, but I agree it's close. I'm happy to postpone too.
Is anybody happy to be pro tempore? That's what their happiness we need.
Kim has done a good job this time. I hope she continues.
Thank you. Okay, well, here's something that is more important. Set meeting times for the rest of the year. So Beth has a problem with this time because she has a governance meeting that's starting in 5 minutes. So let's pick another day to meet for the rest of the year.
Or move it up an hour, perchance, to 3 o'clock?
Actually, Beth had a good proposal, which I approve of, since I figured it out 10 or 20 or 30 years ago when I was running the two committees together. It's a good one.
Go ahead.
Please consider that.
Fred moves that we move to the second Wednesday of the month rather than the third.
Well, the problem with that, first of all, we are currently meeting 1, 2, 3, 4. We are currently meeting on the fourth Wednesday. And Beth suggested the Wednesday before the LSB, but that has become the governance meeting to set the agenda. So that's not a good time either. I would recommend...
It's actually should be the same. It has to be before governance. Logically, our stuff needs to be figured out, and that goes to the governance committee to set the agenda for the LSB. We need to, our work needs to inform that of the governance committee. That's the logical way to do it.
You want to sit on the phone for 5 hours? Have at it.
It doesn't have to be the same day. It just has to be before governance.
Well, if I set it for the first, then, you know, I mean.
We don't want to do it on Tuesday because that would interfere with either the audit or the NFC meeting.
We've looked at this in the past, and because the other four stations, they've all got their schedule set in stone, and really Wednesdays are days that are easy to do, and so we should follow, I think, Beth's idea. And worst case, a lot of retired people having to sit 5 hours, you know, it's doable once a month. I don't look forward to that whole idea. Probably won't go to governance today, but anyhow, it's doable for retired folks.
Talk to you for yourself.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm talking for myself.
Yes, please. You know, after a finance meeting, I do not want to be on a governance meeting.
Especially since you're Zooming piloting the first time, that's understandable. But I take it in general. I take your point.
But in general, this has not been a meeting where I've really wanted to like get into another meeting right away. So we were meeting on the third a couple of years ago. And then it's like, well, it's after the LSB meetings, which is on the third Sunday. The second Wednesday has governance. And the ED said that she's hoping we're going to get our financials earlier by the second Wednesday. I think that's unlikely, but
wise person once said, hope is the last obstacle to growth.
Yeah. Okay, it's 5:25.
That's funny.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm going to write that one down. Who said that? I mean, I know who, the famous person who said that, or hope is the last.
Okay, I don't know what to do for the next meeting, guys and gals.
Can we do it by email? Make a decision.
It's fine with me. I mean,
sure, and it's feasible too.
Because we gotta end this meeting. It's
4 minutes.
5:26.
Is there any objection to us meeting this, settling this with a email or discussion? Hearing none, I hope you guys agree.
I don't have a problem with it.
and failing doing something, we're just screwed. So we just choose not to. Yeah.
I mean, the next meeting, I'm hoping we're going to have the FY24 budget. So it's also going to be, you know, an important meeting.
Yeah.
Who's producing that, Kim?
Who do you think?
Well, yeah.
Same people that produce this.
Is that the National Finance Committee?
No.
The Lois Novick. It's Novick and Kim.
And the ED and the business manager.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We got 3 months left in the year, so we have time.
No, we don't, because I want it up there in September or August, really, because it has to be approved by September 30th.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And we got 7 units that are also going to be late as well. Yeah. And, you know, I like to plan ahead and not have a budget come in the week before, you know, the end of the fiscal year, because it's never going to happen by the end of the fiscal year. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for your effort to spearheading this effort to get it done timely.
Kim, I move that we adjourn.
Okay.
I second.
Not required.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for showing up and helping reviewing the budget. That's what we're that's what we're here for.
I have a quick comment too, and that is, I thank everybody for the largely amicable discussion.
I'm going to have to end the meeting. Get off. Okay. I'm going to just end it.
No time to say thanks. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.